Turn with me tonight back to Daniel there in the Old Testament. And we're in chapter 10 tonight, 21 verses and a wonderful, wonderful chapter. Now, chapter 10, you know, if you've been with us, you've been following us, you realize that we're nearly through with Daniel. But chapter 10, 11 and 12 complete the book of Daniel. But these last three chapters also complete the last vision given by God to Daniel. And it's very important because some scholars teach, and I agree with them, that these last three chapters are absolutely the greatest vision ever given because of the tremendous outline of history for Israel that God gives to Daniel. And, you know, we're going to see tonight as we look in the unseen war that's going on in the heavenlies. This is a chapter that you should dwell upon long after I've taught it. You should think about what God is showing to Daniel here, the things that's happening in the heavenly realm, because we find conflicts, not only warfare in the heavenlies, but warfare on earth. And we have the blessed chance, if you will, or the opportunity to look into the unseen world of the heavenly realm here tonight in chapter 10. So let's look tonight at this unseen war beginning in Daniel chapter 10, verse 1, where it says, "In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia," now that would be 536 B.C., about 4 years after chapter 9, okay? So in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message, or literally a revelation from God, a word from God, was revealed to Daniel, whose name was called Belshazzar. And the message was true. Of course, any message from God is true. Amen. But it says the message was true. Now watch this. But the appointed time was long. Now that in the Hebrew doesn't do it justice in our translation into English. Okay. It's literally, it's the final fulfillment, if you will, the history there that's going to unfold in the future for Israel. But what it really is implying here, that there is going to be great conflict. There is going to be great warfare. There's going to be much tribulation involved in all of it. And so he understood the message. Daniel understood it and had understanding of the vision. Now, under Cyrus, remember if you study Ezra, chapter 1, I believe it is, verses 1 through 4 or 5, right in that area, you'll remember that under Cyrus, the Jews went home. They left captivity. The 70 years of captivity were over, and a group went back to Jerusalem. Unfortunately, it was only a small group. About 49, 50 some odd thousand Jews went back. Not all of them went back. And so Daniel now, he'd been in captivity for over or about 72 years. So you're looking at a prophet who's 85, maybe probably even 90 years of age. He's witnessed the fall of Babylon, remember, Nebuchadnezzar. He served in that administration. And now the Persians, you know, they have taken over. That's the arms of silver, the Medo-Persian. So they've taken over now. And we're not told why Daniel remained in captivity. We're not told why didn't he go home. We don't know. I suspect that he stayed there to help the remnant that absolutely refused to go home. When we read Ezra and Nehemiah and other things, we find out that the Jews prospered. Even though they were in captivity, they started prospering in Babylon, and most of them, or the majority, stayed. So it says that in verse 2, "In those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks." That's 21 days, and we're going to see in verse 13 that there was 21 days of warfare, okay? So don't forget that. So he was mourning, and look what Daniel did. He says, "I ate no pleasant food, no meat, wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all." In other words, he didn't take a bath. That's pretty rough, isn't it? He didn't take a bath there for 21 days till the 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Now listen. We have the tendency to read that, and that's all we do with it. I'm telling you, Daniel was hurting on his insides. He was mourning for his people. We're not told what the 21-day period was for. It could have been Passover or whatever. We're not for sure. But the fact is, we know that he was mourning for his people. Those that went back to Jerusalem, they experienced horrible hardship and so forth. And so, but the 21 days of this fasting actually prepared Daniel for the vision. Chapter 11 actually is just the preparation. It's the vision comes in just a few verses, but actually chapter 11 and 12 when you really get into the vision. So he says, on the 24th day of the first month, and we know exactly when that would be. The first month would be Nisan, so that would be April 24th. Look what happened. As I was by the side of the great river, that is the Tigris, I lifted my eyes and looked and beheld a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with the gold of Uphaz. Now, that's that gold there. We don't know where that area is, but it's obviously this certain man is pure, linen, white. And not only that, he's of high rank because he was girded with gold. His body was like beryl. Remember, beryl was one of the stones in the high priest's breastplate. And he says, and his face was like the appearance of lightning and startling brilliance, and his eyes like torches of fire, his arms, feet like burnished or polished bronze in color, and the sound of his words like the voice of a multitude. There is more debate over these few verses that I just read to you than any other. You know, who is this certain man? I don't really know why they want to make such a big deal out of all of this. The fact is, we're not for sure. But, you know, the description of this certain man is so familiar. I mean, if you read Revelation chapter 1 about when John there on the island of Patmos saw our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then it's nearly the same description. Or Ezekiel there in chapter 1 when Ezekiel saw the Lord. It's almost the same there. So is this the Lord? Is it the Lord, the pre-incarnate Christ? We call that a theophany. Is that what it is? Is that who he is? Maybe. Is it? Some people just say it's just a high-ranking angel and they get away and they don't have to worry about it. But I don't really know. But I do know this, that the main reason that people think that it couldn't be Jesus is because of verse 13, where there's that warfare in heaven, and Michael, in other words, the angel had to call Michael to help. Well, I personally believe that this was an appearance of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but it's not the same angel, or he's not an angel, but it's not the same angel that's going to be found in verse 13. So I believe that the Lord literally appeared to Daniel. And it says, and I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. For the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great terror fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Sounds like the same thing that happened to Paul on the road to Damascus, doesn't it? And here, so these people that was with him, they saw no one. They were so terrified, but they knew something was there or someone was there, but they didn't know what. Therefore, I was left alone when I saw this great vision. Now, this is where the vision begins, and it runs all the way now through chapter 12, okay? And he says, and no strength remained in me, for my vigor was turned to frailty in me. I retained no strength. Yet I heard the sound of his words, and while I heard the sound of his words, look what he says, I was in a deep sleep on my face, and my face was to the ground. In other words, Daniel was literally out cold. Amen? He didn't know what had happened. And Daniel, it says here, was alone with God. Look at it there. Therefore, I was left alone. You know, the incredible effect that the supernatural has upon the flesh. Amen? And you look at this. This really happened. And so Daniel was alone with God, alone with the Creator of everything. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you were alone with God? Was it this morning? I pray you had a quiet time. Not a mechanical quiet time. Not a quiet time that said to you where, you know, I have to go into prayer. You don't ever have to go to prayer. You know that? You get to go to prayer. What an honor to go in and pray to the Lord. He's always so ready, so willing to hear us. And so Daniel there alone with God, and look what happened. Suddenly, remember, he was out cold on the ground, and suddenly a hand touched me. And I believe this is where the next angel or an angel comes into play. It doesn't say whose hand. It certainly doesn't say the hand of the Lord Jesus. In other words, when I say that, in other words, the theophany, the appearance of the preexistent Lord. And so suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hand. So this ministering angel comes up and touches Daniel, and he said to me, the angel said to me, you ready? O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. In other words, sent to you by God. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. And he said to me, do not fear, Daniel. For from the first day, say that word first day with me, first day, not the second day, not the third day, not the second week, but from the first day that you set your heart to understand. Understand what? What was happening to the people that were returning to Jerusalem? And why are those also the Jews? Why were so many staying probably? It had to be about the children of Israel. He says, you set your heart to understand, and look what he did, and to humble yourself before God. Your words, your prayers, your intercessions were what? Heard. And I have come because of your words. Listen to me. That is one of the most profound statements in the Word of God. The angel of God said, listen, the moment you prayed, the very first day, he'd been praying for 21 straight days. He had nothing to eat. He was mourning over the people. He locked himself away. He wouldn't even take a bath. Think of that. Listen, when's the last time you did that? Not take a bath. To lock yourself away. You know what happens? Now listen to me. Do you know what happens when you really lock yourself away with God? The first couple of days, there's like a terror that comes upon you. You know why? Because you're used to a lot of activity. You're used to you're into a routine. You're into a method. And all of a sudden, you're locked away. You're alone with God. And what happens is you're uncomfortable. You feel, you fidget, you know, and you don't, you know, this is when I'm supposed to eat my breakfast. This is when I'm supposed to eat my lunch. This is when I'm supposed to watch the evening news. And you just have your Bible. You're alone. You're in a room with God. No one else. No noise, no cell phone, no computer, nothing except your Bible and water and the presence of the Spirit of God. You wake up in the middle of the night trembling at times because you know something's happening. You know that you're drawing nigh to God, and if you draw nigh to God, He draws nigh to you. Are you hearing me? It's a real thing, something that really happens. He wants that desperately for the church of Jesus Christ today. He says here, I heard your prayer. And the angel said to Daniel, listen, I have come, I love this, because of your words. Prayer, you've heard me say it so often. Prayer is the work. Prayer really, really is the work. Now listen, I say this to you to challenge you. What priority does prayer really have in your life? Think about that. I'm talking about getting away from everything and really praying. Now, it's not so much, you know, that it's, yes, I know we go to work every day and all that and we have our quiet time, but I'm talking about setting aside, just being with the Lord. Why not set aside evenings where the TV's off, the phone's off the hook, your cell phone is turned off, your computer is turned off, and you're just alone with God and the Word of God. Amen? You're on your knees. You walk through your house. You lift your hands. You're praising Him. You're honoring Him. You're loving Him. You're trying to find Him. Say, Lord, I need you. I need you. I know you're my rock, but I want you to manifest that in my life. I know you're my refuge, but I want you to manifest that in my life. I would say today that the praying church, our prayers are quite shallow. And we need to change that. we need to find the Lord again. It says, now look what happened. He was praying. The angel said, I'm here because of your words, your intercessions, your prayer. The first day you set your heart to pray, Daniel, we heard it. But, in verse 13, but the prince, or literally, read it this way. But the demon, the fallen angel, the demon of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. For I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Does that blow you away? Now listen to me. The angel that was speaking to Daniel in this vision, he is giving Daniel an explanation as to why his prayer had not been answered. And I'm looking, I say, oh Lord, can I have some of that? You know, come, you know, tell me. I want you to look deeply into this tonight, folks. Look, this is that unseen world. This is that unseen warfare that the Lord is allowing us to take a little glimpse into right now. There's war there between good, between evil, between God, between Satan. The prince of Persia, he is not a man. He is a fallen angel. Did you know the devil has angels? Huh? Matthew 25:41, it says, hell was created for what? For the devil and his angels. The devil has angels, fallen angels, demons, demonic, that work for him, different levels of authority. And this particular angel, this prince of Persia, had an assignment. And the assignment was over the nation or over the kingdom of Persia. Now listen very carefully. I don't know that I understand chapter 10. As a matter of fact, I'll just say I don't understand it. But there are certain things I do understand. I understand that that if you'll notice as we go through, that the demons are literally over Gentile nations. Gentile nations. And I look at this and I go, Lord, Satan has placed demons over the nations of the world. And that's exactly what we're seeing. What are their assignments? Well, first of all, they try to stop. They try to hinder God's plans and God's purposes on this earth. I don't understand that. You say, well, who could stop God? Well, then tell me this. Why is there warfare in the heavenlies? Why is there that type of warfare going on? And of course, God can't be stopped. I know that. But we're talking about angels that are fighting here. And you know what is really amazing is Daniel's prayer, like I said, was immediately heard. The angel fought 21 days. Every day that Daniel prayed, he was fighting for 21 days to bring the answer to Daniel during that time. Imagine angels, fallen angels, and godly angels fighting over God's message before it ever reached the planet Earth. That's powerful, isn't it? Do you think Daniel knew about this? Of course he didn't. He just kept praying. He was going to get to the Lord. He was going to find God no matter what. Now, I'm going to come back to that in just a minute, but let's continue. Now, in verse 14, the angel says, I've come to make you understand what will happen to your people, that's Israel, in the latter days, that's future, for the vision refers to many days yet to come. So, we're going to learn from chapters 10, 11, and 12, the future of Israel. We're going to look down through the years and see the end, all the way to the end of the Great Tribulation period, going into the millennial reign even, where God sets up His kingdom. And when He had spoken such words to me, I turned my face toward the ground and became speechless. Suddenly, one having the likeness of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke, saying to him who stood before me, My Lord, because of the vision, because of what God was showing him, my sorrows have overwhelmed me and I have retained no strength. Listen, what in the world did Daniel see that overwhelmed him, that literally knocked the breath right out of him? Well, you know, God evidently in this vision, let him see down through the history. See, listen to me. Daniel, he was just thinking that they were going to go home and start building the temple immediately. Did you know that? He thought, yeah, we're going to go back to Israel and everything's going to be okay. It didn't work out that way. Ezra's going to take people back. Nehemiah's going to take people back. Zerubbabel's going to be taking people back. They're all going to be building, trying to get it all put together again. So it's not working out the way Daniel thought it was going to work out. So in this vision, the reason he was so overwhelmed is he saw down through the ages, he saw Israel's falling away. He saw the worldwide dispersion of the Jews that was going to happen. Probably he saw that in AD 70. He saw the end time horrors of the Antichrist and what they're going to do to the Jewish people. He saw all of that and he realized that this was all of that thing, all of those things, events of history will happen before the true kingdom is set up in the millennial age with Christ. So he was overwhelmed and he said, For how can this servant of my Lord talk with you, my Lord? As for me, no strength remains in me now, nor is there any breath left in me. Then again, the one having the likeness of a man touched me and strengthened me. Now that's the third time they've had to do that to Daniel. Do you think he's just wobbling up there or something? You know what I mean? But passing out? He said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be to you. Yes, praise the Lord. Be strong. Yes, be strong. So when he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. And then he said, do you know why I've come? And now let me stop right there. He said, do you know why I've come? You know what's funny about that? I don't know if I'm right or wrong, but I said, of course he knows. Why would an angel ask Daniel? He said, you know, I'm here for this. I'm answering your prayer and your vision and all the stuff that's happened. He says, do you know why I've come? I really believe that Daniel was so wiped out. See, he had been three times he had to be strengthened. Do you understand? There was no breath left in him. I believe the angel was going, Daniel, do you know why I'm here? Daniel, wake up. Hello, Billy, wake up, you know. And I believe that's exactly what was happening here. And he said, and now, look what he says, I must return to fight. I must go back into the war. This is talking here about perpetual warfare in the heavenlies. I must return to the fight with the prince or the demon of Persia. And when I've gone forth, indeed the demon or the prince of Greece, he's going to come as well. But I will tell you what is noted or recorded here in the scripture of truth. No one upholds me against these. In other words, no one contends for me. No one is at my side except Michael, your prince. Now, chapter 12, verse 1 is going to tell us that the guardian angel over the nation of Israel, Michael is their protector, okay? And so the angel is getting ready to tell Daniel God's plan through the history now, the perfect, accurate history, which we'll be getting into, that'll blow you away, that blows everyone away because it's so accurate, so perfect. What's the Word of God? But we're going to talk about next week Persia and Greece and then the tribulation and then in chapter 12, the millennia. But in chapter 11, verse 1, look at this now. It says, also in the first year of Darius the Mede, this is the angel, he's still talking. Actually, 11:1 goes with this, okay? It says, I, this angel, stood up to confirm and strengthen him, meaning Darius. Now, remember when Daniel was put in the lion's den? It was under who? The reign of Darius, right? And boy, the king was all upset because Daniel was going to be thrown into the lion's den because of his own decree, because people had lied to him, and in other words, they wanted to bring strong opposition against the Jews. And of course, we realize that the demons were behind all this, literally. And so Darius tries to help Daniel to no avail. Remember, they throw him into the lion's den. And it says right here, this angel, it says in Daniel 6:22, Daniel, he cries out and he says, my God has sent his angel, shut the lion's mouth so that they've not hurt me because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. So the angels there not only strengthened King Darius, but also there as well as Daniel. Now, I want you to look back and I want to really talk to you about verse 13. So look back with me and let's make some applications tonight. And I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles. to different scriptures, because I or at least write them down. I want you to get this tonight. But let's look at verse 13 again. Talking about the unseen war that we're all involved in even right now. It says, but the prince, or literally the demon of the kingdom of Persia, withstood me 21 days. That was the length of Daniel's prayer. Amen. He'd been praying for 21 days. And he says, this demon, the kingdom, withstood me 21 days. Behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. He had to call for Michael, said, Michael, I can't beat up this guy, or however they fight, I don't know. He says, I can't win. I have to have your help. And he says, Michael came, and for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Now listen, the demonic realm is all around us. I mean all around us. I don't want to see into the supernatural realm. I care not to investigate that at all. Amen? I don't want that. I just want to just walk in the Spirit. If I walk in the Spirit, I'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But listen to me. There is a realm here in the heavenlies, and that is making war against the saints of God. We saw just a touch, just a brief example, if you will, or illustration of what's going on in the heavenlies, how that demons are assigned stations over nations and so forth. Now, you know, demons work through fallen man. Amen? They do. It says in Ephesians 2, write it down or turn there. I'm just going to be there a second, so just write it down. It says in Ephesians 2, 1, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, meaning the system, the world system of values, according, here it comes, according to the prince or the ruler of demons, the prince of the power of the air or the heavenlies. The spirit, or the fallen angel, okay? The spirit who now, present tense, works or energizes in the sons of disobedience. Satan is the prince of disobedience. And he rejoices to make sons of disobedience. Sons implies a relationship, loved one. And you start thinking about all this. Listen to me. You know this. You're the Wednesday night crowd. I know you know it. Satan is real. Not only that, demons are real and warfare is real. They hate everybody. They hate every nation, but they love to use the Gentile nations. And have you noticed that they love to use the Gentile nations to try and destroy Israel? It's amazing when you look down at history and see all of the events. And you know, he's like a lion looking for his prey all the time. And here's the issue. Christian, listen to me now. We live out our Christian life in this unseen war, but we live out our Christian life in the wicked one's territory. Amen? You see, this world, what does it say in 1 John 5:19? We know that we're of God, and the whole world, not just part of it, the whole world lies in the sway of the wicked one. Jesus called Satan. He said, you know what? In John 12:31, he called him the ruler of this world. Satan called him in 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this age. So he's there. And if you look in Ephesians chapter 6, it says for us to do something. It says, put on the whole armor of God. He tells us why. That you may be able to stand against the wiles. What is a wile? The wiles of the devil. That's his strategies. That's his schemes. That's his trickery. It says, put on the whole armor of God that you're able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle. That means to fight, doesn't it? Have you ever wrestled anybody? Well, it means to fight, doesn't it? For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We don't fight against one another, or we shouldn't. But listen, but we do wrestle against principalities. Principalities, the rank and the rule in the heavenlies. Those demons that are over nations and whatever else they're placed over. So against principalities, against powers, that means authorities, that you're talking about wicked authorities in high places, not on earth, the thing in the heavenlies. against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, the day he attacks. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. Now listen, we start thinking about all this and we realize that we do not fight against flesh and blood. I believe with all my heart, oh, I know, the Bible teaches it, that the demonic realm, those fallen angels, Satan's hierarchy, his lieutenants and corporals and sergeants and generals or whatever he has, they're assigned to the nations to work in the social, the economic, the religious, the government or whatever. You look at the hell in this world, you look at the inhumanity toward man, it's horrible. And you have to know who's behind all that because we don't fight against flesh and blood. We don't fight against people. We know that there's something behind those people. I wonder if the devil in his realm, if he has demons assigned on every street corner, over every home, over every elementary school, every high school, over some seminaries, over areas in Congress. Do you follow me? You listen. We don't know, but I do know that we're in a fight. How do I know that? Listen to this scripture. Write it down. 1 Peter 5:8. It says, be sober, be vigilant. In other words, stay awake. Why? Because your adversary, that's our enemy. You have a full-time enemy because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. It says, resist him. If you have to resist him, that means he attacks, doesn't it? Amen? Resist is a military word. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in all the world. James 4:7 says, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Resist him, and he will flee from you. Stand on the word of God. You know, the devil is terrified of a Christian that really prays. Did you know that? Resist him, steadfast in the faith, in the Word of God. Now, Satan's great desire is to manipulate the Christian. Did you know that? Listen, you know what Satan really wants? Satan really wants to run the body of Christ. You know, today in the church, let's be honest with one another. I mean, really honest. Are we really praying? You know, I experimented for a month to see who would come to pray. Not who would come, but how many would come to pray. Then I made the announcement, you know, well, we're not going to pray. Thank you for coming to pray with me, because there was only about four or five that came to pray. But that's good enough for me. But then we had our prayer time again tonight, you know, because I'm going to continue praying. We're going to keep praying. But I'm not inviting people. You want to show up, show up. You know what I mean? I think the leaders should be here. I think the praise band should be on their face before God. I think every leader in this church should be in here praying, crying out to God for revival, to bring revival, a sovereign move of God to our nation. Listen to me. Daniel prayed for 21 days. And you know what? Jesus said, and Daniel wouldn't give up. What did Jesus tell us in Luke 18:1? He said, men ought always to pray and not faint. Don't become discouraged. Don't give up. Don't quit. We quit before the answer comes. Don't we? And God says, don't do that. Listen, you know, there is a war in the heavenlies and our prayers are being attacked. That's exactly what was happening to Daniel, and that's what happens to us. There is a connection between our prayers and the heavenly realm. I don't understand it, but I know there is. Because Daniel, or the angel, was coming to Daniel. He had the answer to his prayer, but he had to fight to get it to him. What does that mean? I have no idea. What does that mean? I can't even picture that. I mean, when you think of fighting, you think they're up there boxing? No. Man, we don't have any idea, nor are we given a picture of it. But I know that there's a deep connection between our prayers and the spiritual realm and the unseen war. That's why the Bible teaches us in Romans 8:26, it's talking about our prayer time. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for. We know we should pray, but we don't know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, which makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Our prayers are immediately heard. Immediately. Immediately heard in heaven. Do you hear me? If you prayed this morning, your prayers were immediately heard in heaven. And we pray these prayers, and we, you know, there's today you can have a prayer journal and when it was it answered and all that. Listen, don't give up. Don't quit praying. Are you sick? Don't quit praying. Don't quit praying. Don't ever give up. I tell you, the answer is on the way, and it's going to be yes or no. But God will answer you, and you'll have a release and a peace. Daniel kept praying because he didn't have a release at all. I believe that our prayers are sometimes delayed. Of course, we can pray out of the will of God. You know, we ask not, and we have not because we ask not, but we ask amiss, it says. But most of the time, I believe that if we pray according to the will of God, which is the Word of God, then the warfare that in the heavenlies is what delays our prayer. I don't understand that. I just know that it to be a truth. Listen, have you ever asked yourself, you know, I ask myself this all the time, but maybe you don't, but why is there so many issues in the church? Why is there such selfishness in the church? And there's such giving in the church as well. But you know, it seems like selfishness gets magnified there in the precious body of Jesus. Why do believers, ask yourself, why does a believer backbite? Why does a believer gossip? Why are some believers so easily offended? How can you be around a Christian that is one moment is all smiley and 10 seconds later, they'll want to cut your throat? Why is that? I mean, why do believers cause problems? Why do believers really, why do they hate godly authority? Why are the positions that God has placed today in the ministry, why are they so disdained? You have to ask yourself, why is it that a believer would sow discord in the precious body of Christ? Why would they cause division? And you say, well, Bill, the reason is because they're carnal. That's a good, okay. Are there a carnal Christian? It's a fleshly Christian. So they're walking in the flesh, yes. And if you walk in the flesh, you know you're going to cause all these problems. That's true. But you know, the fact of the matter is, it also has something to do with the demonic realm. Did you know that, we have a tendency to say, over there's the problem. Over there, you know, that part of town, there's the problem. That boy, Satan's got that part of town, you know, the drug dens and the bars and or whatnot. Well, Satan, he's not worried about those places. He already has those places. Amen? He's not worried about the woman selling her body going down the street over on Rosedale or wherever. He's not worried about that. Folks, he already has that person. Do you understand? He's not worried about, you know, this school over here that's we're absolutely, there's no way you're going to have any prayer in it. He said, I've got you. That's great. No, listen. No, Satan, you know what he does? He's won those battles. But what he does is this. Satan sends his demons. He sends them over nations. He sends them over cities. He sends them over churches. Over churches. He sends them over pastors to destroy his family, to where there's not any finances, there's not enough this or not enough that, where there's not enough time to even take care of your own family. You have to take care of the family of God. All those things that you have to be so careful about. He sends them over Christians. Satan attacks Christians. Why? Because he loves and rejoices to use Christians to hurt other Christians. He loves that. He rejoices in it. He loves to use a Christian to sow discord in his body. He loves it. I tell you, hell has a party when he sees that. When he can get people in the church to lie when it says, remember, do not lie one to another, since we are members one of another. All those things, there's a force behind it. It's just not always the flesh, walking in the flesh. Listen to me. Satan is anti-God. Satan is anti-family. He is anti-marriage. Satan hates you. And I'll tell you what, if the little corporal demon can't do it, he'll get one who's a sergeant. And if the sergeant can't do it, he'll get the one that's a first lieutenant. New levels, new devils. See, he loves divorce. He loves to see what God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. Satan loves to rip apart the marriage covenant of two people. Satan loves to see a fatherless child. He loves that. Man, if we could only understand that there is an unseen war, you feel that push, you feel that temptation. You know God's not tempting you. God doesn't tempt you to sin, does He? No, where do you think that comes from? Where do you think that setup comes from? Where do you think that setup at the office or wherever it might be, where do you think it comes from? You think God sent that along your path? No. No, no. It's a setup from hell. You wake up and, you know, you go to bed that night and everybody's happy. You wake up the next day and you think you've just walked into the abyss. What's happened? Why do I feel this way? Where's this pressure coming from? Why is everything falling apart over and over? I'll tell you, there's an assignment. And we have to be aware of those things. You know, the battle, you know where the battle is really? The unseen war, you know where it's really being waged? It's being waged wherever Christians are demonstrating his defeat. Let me tell you something. Satan hates for the kingdom of God to advance. The worst warfare that I have ever experienced in the 17-year history of Calvary Chapel was building phase one. I have never experienced anything like that in my life or in this church, never. And I'll tell you why, because the devil doesn't want us to advance. And the next worst thing that's been happening is that I have never, see, he doesn't want us to advance in Mexico. Oh my gosh, listen to me. You look at the battle, that's where the battle is down there with those children because see, we are loving them, we are feeding, we are educating, we are protecting those little precious girls. Not only from the demonic, but from people that are fallen. You know, someone defined spiritual warfare as this. As the activities of darkness aligned on the battlefield against the will of God, opposing those who do His will. Listen, we're not told in Daniel 10, we're not told how the angels fought. Don't you wish that God would have let us in on that? We're not taught what kind of battle is taking place. We just know that it is. But I tell you, it must be about people. Amen? It has to be, because Daniel was praying for his people. The angel said, I'm coming about your fasting and prayer and so forth, about your people, Daniel, meaning Israel. It must be this battle that's being waged is about Christians doing the will of God. See, Satan doesn't want you to do anything God's way. He doesn't want you to, that's why there's so many lazy Christians when it comes to doing marriage God's way. That's too much trouble. I'd rather just read Dr. Phil, you know. Well, you know, read your Bible. It'll tell you how to do marriage God's way. It'll tell you how to raise your children. It'll tell you how to pray. It'll tell you how to love one another. You know, the Bible tells us that the weapons of our warfare in 2 Corinthians 10:4, and that means we have a war, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not of this world, but they're mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds, or destroying strongholds. I don't understand it all, but I hear people say, you know, there's no really place in the Bible to plead the blood. Well, I plead the blood all the time. It says that we've overcome him by the word of our testimony and the blood of Jesus. Amen. meaning Satan. We've overcome him by the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. There's something about the blood. But I tell you something. Satan has a plan against us and against this body and against every church body. And it's up to us to pray and to really pray. And to really, you know, we don't have to be quiet and dignified when we pray. Is that the way you pray? I don't pray that way at home. Are you quiet and dignified? You know, you have your sissy green tea and then, excuse me, Lord, you know. And you don't pray in King James or anything, do you? No, listen. Daniel said, I'm not going to take a bath. I'm not going to eat. I'm not going to talk to anyone. I'm tuned out the world. I just need a word. God, I need you to speak to me. I need my prayers answered. Some of you have loved ones that are, you don't understand why they're constantly living in the world. They've fallen away. You know what you have to do? You're going to have to pray because you're the only intercessor they may have. Amen? Pray and you keep praying. You know, look at verse 19 here and we need to close up here, but look at verse 19 in chapter Daniel 10. This is God's word to Daniel, but I believe it's God's word to us tonight. He says, O man, greatly beloved. Are we greatly beloved? Yes, we are. Oh, how wonderful to know that God loves a bunch of losers like us. Amen? I mean, thank God. And do you know that God's love never varies? It doesn't oscillate. It doesn't go up and down. It's perfect, consistent, constant. It is uncaused. God loves you whether you pray in the morning and you should pray. God loves you whether you tithe and you should tithe. God loves you and you can't change God's love. He doesn't like sin, hates sin. But you can't change God's love. You're greatly beloved. It says, fear not. Boy, and that's a word. Do you know what? Sometimes when you're confronted with the demonic, and you remember over in Luke chapter 10, the disciples that they went out, not the disciples, but the 70 disciples, not just the apostles, they went out and it says, came back and told the Lord, said, Lord, even the demons are subject unto us in your name. What did Jesus say? He said, that's cool, that's great. He said, but do you want to rejoice in this, that your names are written in the Lamb's book of life. And then he goes on in Luke chapter 10, he says, behold, I give you authority over the serpent and over the enemy, and he will by no means hurt you. We don't have to be afraid of the heavenlies. We just have to know that there is warfare going on, unseen warfare, to stop the plans of God to try to hinder God's plan for your life, for your family, for your ministry. And you have to pray through. And you don't quit praying. You just keep standing on the Word of God. Some of you have just given up and saying, this is the way it's always going to be for me. Don't ever do that. Listen, don't do that. No. You keep fighting. You keep standing in His strength, in His grace, in His power. Amen? You don't give up. He says, fear not. Peace be to you. And we have the peace of Christ tonight, don't we? Yes, we do. And here it is. I love this. Be strong. Yes, be strong. How are we to be strong? What does it say in Ephesians 6:10? Finally, brethren, be strong in what? In the Lord. Not be strong in diplomas. Nothing wrong with having your education. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. That speaks of strength possessed, whether you use it or not. You have everything you need. Let me say something to you. I'm not going to receive any more strength than God's already given me. He's given me everything I need. I just have to believe it. Do you understand? We just have to walk in what we already have. We're already blessed. We have to walk in it. I will not allow the unseen war that's going on to steal from me because it has stolen from me so much of my life. There has to come a time when you say, no. The Bible says in 1 John 2:14 that we have overcome the wicked one and ye are strong. Why? For the word of God abideth in you. How are we strong? Getting into God's word, knowing God's word. There are people, I stand amazed, and I know it's time to quit, but I stand amazed at some of the people. They're out here binding this devil and binding that devil, and they don't even know God's word. So what are you doing? I'm binding that devil, boy. And I said, do you know what justification is? No. I said, well, it's not a cuss word. Do you know what propitiation? No. I'm just binding devils. Do you know your position in Christ? I'm binding devils, you know. Know who you are. Philemon 6. May your faith become effective by you confessing everything which is in you, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Know who you are in Christ. That's why you need to take up all the armor of God. Put it on every day. We are in an unseen war. And I'll tell you something. Now listen, be sensitive to the realm of the supernatural. What do I mean by that? Well, would you call the Holy Spirit supernatural? Okay. Practice that awareness that He's with you every day. He wants to lead you. He wants to guide you into all truth. He is right there. He loves you. He's right beside you. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and be sensitive. You know, listen, when you walk into a room or someplace, you go to a place and you feel this is unclean, then leave. Leave. You know, I told you about that time I went to that movie and I put my sunglasses on and walked out or crawl. I crawled down the steps. There's no kidding. Crawled down around. Man, I got it. I said, I hope nobody in this church saw me at this movie because, I mean, they're going to say, Bill, this is the horrible, filthiest language I've ever heard. But somebody told me it was a great movie. Go see it. It was a Christian, by the way. And I stayed there 5 minutes and I slithered out, you know, a serpent right alongside of me. Listen. It was unclean. I felt unclean. When you feel something that is unclean, don't tell anyone, and this is unclean. Don't do that. Get away from it. Get away from it. Walk away from it. Be led by the Spirit of God. Father, tonight we praise you. We thank you, Lord, that there's no one like you. I don't know, Lord, if I explain chapter 10 effectively or right or not. I just know that it's a supernatural chapter. And Lord, I'm thankful that you've given us a tiny glimpse into the heavenlies to see what really happens when we pray. That the answer to our prayer, they don't care how much we pray, Lord. They just don't want our prayers being answered. And Lord, you do. We don't understand it all, but we commit ourselves to you tonight. We commit ourselves afresh, this church, to be men and women of prayer. Really praying. Specifically praying. Praying in the Spirit. Praying in however, Lord, lead us, help us. And Lord, I don't know if there's an assignment. I'm sure there is over this church. And there's probably assignments over each and every one that's here. I don't know how to break them. I don't know what to do except to say, be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. And let everything that would hinder us, hinder everything that would hinder our walk, everything that would stop our progress into Christ's likeness, Lord, tonight in the name of Jesus, displace it. Displace every foul, demonic, fallen angel or demon who would try to rule and reign in our church, in this church, in any part of our ministry, in our home life, in our workplace. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we plead the blood of Jesus over that, the blood of the Lamb. We've overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. Lord, help us to really and truly understand the word in a greater way. Help us to understand, Lord, that everything here is temporary, that this world is passing away, but he who doeth the will of God abideth forever. Hallelujah. Lord, let us move into true worship times. in this house. True worship, Lord, where, oh God, it's intimate, it's sincere, it's holy. Let not a Christian that attends this house operate in discord, operate in division. Let it not happen. Let the peace of Christ rule in this place, rule in our hearts. Let us be tender one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ has forgiven us. Lord, fill us with the Spirit over and over. Let our cup run over, Lord, with the Spirit of God. Oh God, just baptize us all over again. Baptize us afresh every day. Every time we come here, Lord, let us be intimate with You and You be intimate with us. May we find You. Oh God, we love You tonight. Touch Your people. We praise You now. In the name of Jesus. And the church says, amen. Amen.